Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. If you are new here, we are a radio show and podcast about really people struggling with infertility and miscarriage. But if you've been listening for a while now, you know that we also have covered many other topics about adoption and foster care and singleness later on in life and disabilities and really just a lot of different ways that maybe you thought your life wasn't going to look like. Maybe your life is holding a lot more grief than what you pictured, or maybe you just need some space to say, I didn't know I was going to be walking through this. And so we hope that we can provide that space for you today as you listen to stories from Hannah's Heart. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest and someone who I consider a friend, Miss Betsy O'Neill. You were on the show with me today.
Yay,
you're
excited. Yes, I am. I am very excited. Yes.
I'm excited to have you. We have talked about this, I don't know, it's been a few months now that we've kind of talked about, hey, mm-hmm. you could, you know.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I'm not
sure. I don't know, but
I'm going to have to pray about that one.
Then I can't.
I'm always glad when people give me that, you know, let me pray about it. Because I'm like, yeah, sure, pray about it. That's always good. But then I do come back for a round two. I'm like, so did you pray about it?
Yeah, I know, but I can't put that off on the Lord. He's like, you just do it. So here we are.
Well, and I appreciate it. I want you to introduce mm-hmm. yourself just a little bit and what your family looks like. But we're on today to talk about adoption.
Yes.
But a different space for adoption, because I've never had someone on who was adopted.
Yes.
And that is part of your sweet story.
It is. It's a sweet story.
Tell us about, because we talk a lot about infertility, miscarriage mm-hmm. here. That's not part of your story. So tell us what your family looks like, and then we'll get on to where Betsy came from.
Where Betsy, baby Betsy is
baby
what you
Betsy.
Said. Yeah. Yes, gotcha. I have my sweet husband, James. We've been married 30 years in December.
30 years.
Wow, yes. And we're blessed with two young men. Mm-hmm. They're grown.
They're grown.
Yeah, so that's our little family, and I love them. They're my happy place.
Yeah.
So, but
and one of them's birthday is today.
Yeah.
The day that we're recording.
Today is his birthday. He's actually already turned his age, because I had him around lunch.
That's exciting.
You know, yeah, you still celebrate when you turn, but yes.
That's exciting.
It's exciting.
Well, good. And so, yeah, let's just get started. So, I love Mr. James. I have to give a shout out to Mr.
Yes,
James.
Yes, we do.
Because my kiddos love uh-huh. Mr. James. My kiddos love you, and they end up staying with you in the nursery because they cry.
Well, I hope so. I love that.
She runs our nursery.
I love that place. They're all my babies.
At church, and mm-hmm. my kids give her the most grief, I think, out of any other children.
They do not give me the most grief.
But
no, you're good.
I know one day you and Nora will be best friends. I can just feel it.
We were at the ball field.
Y'all were at the ball field.
Yeah. I remember.
See, she's very special. Miss Betsy and Mr. James came to my little boy's T-ball game, mm-hmm. baseball game, and made it around the fields to a lot of other kids' games. And I think that's very special, because you as a preschool director, you don't have to do that.
Well, I don't, but it's important for James and I to cheer our little ones on outside of church, because I call them my friends, and you go see your friends,
and you go
right?
See
so I love to do that.
Well,
thank you.
Mark was very, very excited.
Yes, he's a baller.
He is a baller.
Yes, he is.
You know Will's excited about that.
I know, right? You're like, yay.
Mark hit a foul ball last night, and it was foul, mm-hmm. but it still went over the fence. And he was like, this is so cool. I just hit a ball over the fence. So anyway, okay, that's not what we're here to talk about.
That's not.
But thank you for coming
to the
ball game. But anyway, let's talk about baby Betsy.
Yes. Just start from, yeah.
Yeah, start from the beginning.
Well, thanks for asking me. You know, I've always, that's who I am. I'm adopted. Okay, I've always known, as people ask me, when did you know? I've just always known. And so I've just gone down the last couple of weeks looking at all my adoption papers and talking to my mom. And so it's just been extra sweet. Oh. And I love just the reminder of God's sovereignty through it all. It just gives me goosebumps. I'm just like, because it's so, yeah, so I've just enjoyed it. I wish my dad was still here, but he's with Jesus. Every time he told the story, he cried like a baby. So,
and yeah, I the story of your adoption.
Adoption, yes. And my mother has written everything down because she's afraid she would kind of forget.
Yeah.
And she did a little bit when we were talking. She goes, I think so. And I thought my dad did, but he did not. So I did get to ask her some questions.
Well, good. So maybe you found out some new things.
I did, actually. Yes.
Well, cool.
Because I don't know that she'd written it so long ago, I did not understand. And I have babies now, so maybe I just looked at it different. But yes, so my parents, I'm just going to go into it, which are, I will call my birth parents, the ones who birthed me, and then my parents. It's my mom and dad. They had tried for a couple of years to get pregnant, and it was just not happening. And my mom said one of her friends suggested, it was Mississippi Children's Home Society out of Jackson.
Okay.
She called it a children's home.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes, Jackson, Mississippi. And so she said, I contacted them. She goes, no, you didn't really call them. So I wrote a letter.
Wow.
And yeah, letters. She saved all the letters.
Oh, I love
it. It's the sweetest thing. And they wrote letters back then. So she wrote a letter because they were just wondering. And they had a meeting.
Okay.
I think it was to inquire about adoption. So there were 30 other families there.
Wow.
And so you just, they just laid it all out, what adoption was and how it looked. And she said the last thing they said was, you just let us know if you want to adopt or not. And so she's like, okay. She said, well, obviously they did.
Yeah,
so here we are,
inquiring,
right?
So
inquiry minds. And so that started the process.
Wow.
And I guess through all this, I didn't realize how long the process was for them.
Okay.
Okay. Because they had tried 2 years. And so that meant in 1969 is when they started the adoption process.
Okay.
So you got to do all your paperwork. And they had to do autobiography. So they each had to do that. And then they also had to write and say why Tupelo would be a good place to raise a child.
Okay.
So they did that. And then also my grandparents-to-be had to write a short letter on how they would feel about having an adoptive grandchild.
Mm.
And so I was like, okay. And then I didn't know this. They had to do a geographical biography because wherever my friends and family were, or their friends and family, where they made sure that they were not around where my birth parents were because it was a private, like I was closed adoption, so I was private adoption.
Okay.
And so they just had to make sure that they weren't in the same circles. Yes, in the same circles.
Okay.
And so they did that, and of course they had home visits here, and they would go to Jackson some, but then that was a two-year process.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. So they didn't really have everything complete where they were approved for adoption was to like 1971.
Wow.
Okay. And okay.
So now we're four years into it.
Yes. And then they waited again because I was born in November of 73.
Okay.
So, and then I told you in all this in the papers, like they had signed her caseworker. Her name was Miss Eloise McDonald. My mother and dad loved her. And she had written a letter. And it was dated November 6, 1973, that they were so sorry. It was just taking a while to find your adoptive, you know, child. And then I was born on November 8th. So
I was
like, see, you know. So I was born November 8th.
So wait, did they get a letter telling?
No, they called.
Okay,
she called.
Okay.
But they got a letter just saying we're sorry. It has just
taken,
I guess, longer than they had thought.
Okay.
But then my parents, like, well, they were just waiting on me. So it may have seemed long then, you know.
But it was, yes.
And so this is where my mom writes all her story. I love it. She put it in her person, so I'm going to say it where it's not. So if I do, I'm telling it how my mom told it. But she said it was December 13th, 1973. So it was a normal day. She'd done most of her Christmas shopping. They were waiting to get the tree that weekend.
Okay.
And she worked mornings. And so she said, I got home that afternoon and she watched her soaps, which is funny. She probably watched As the World Turns. I could see her and my grandmother. That is so what they did. So she said, I was watching my soaps and the phone rings around 2 o'clock and I answer it. And I was like, I know this voice. So it was Miss McDonald. She's like, she was just very casual. Like, hey, like, how are you and Travis? Are y'all good? Y'all okay? She's like, yes, we're okay. And then she just said, well, we have a baby.
Oh, my goodness.
For you. Can you be here at 9 o'clock in the morning? And she's like, I just had the cheeks and my tears. Like, they were just streaming down my face.
I had, right now.
She goes, I had tears of joy. And I was just, they were flowing. And she said, I had a thousand questions.
Aww.
Said she answered them best she could. So I got off the phone. I said, I called your dad because he was at work. She then was like, never mind. I'm just going to go there too. So she goes to his work. And then she said, we just started telling everybody like the good news. Like, we're getting a baby girl because they did know it was a baby girl. We're getting her. We got to be there in the morning at 9 o'clock. And mom said that started the longest 19 hours of their entire lives at that point, you know? So she was like, because they needed to get diapers and a change of clothes and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then make sure the nursery was ready for baby girls, which she put in the thing. So they did. She said they didn't sleep much.
No.
That not at all. But that was good. She goes, they popped up right at 4. She said, I don't know if our alarms went off, but we were up at 4, got ready, and they took the trace. Mm-hmm. She knows about, you know, so she said 3.5 hours. And then, bless them, this is what, when they got there at 9, they had to wait because they were feeding me. So I was like, sorry, Mom, I didn't help you. And that's just, no. I don't know if I was a slow or fast eater because she didn't tell me how long they had to wait.
But I guess it felt like a long time for her to remember that.
We had to wait. That was in my, we had to wait again. I was like, so sorry. So they waited.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I think in that process, Ms. McDonald, the caseworker, took them to her office. And she said, they just told us some important information and things we needed to know. And also told them that it was a baby girl, but they did not have to take me.
Mm.
And if you didn't, it was okay. It wouldn't, like, affect any other adoptions. If you did not want this baby, it wouldn't.
Wow.
And Mom said, she's like, do you have any questions? She goes, yes, I want to go see my baby. Yeah. And so.
Where is my baby?
Where? I want her right now. And she's like, okay.
So you're going to adopt.
Right. And she's like, yes. Like, but it is funny because my parents like, we were just so glad you were kind of a cute baby when we went in there. Because, you know.
We were taking you.
So we were like, yay. But I love that when they tell me that. They'll be like, you were cute. I was like, well, I'm glad I passed the cute test. So, but she said they went to this big room. And it actually was the room they initially met in when they first went to Jackson, to the children's home. And so she said, we went in this big room, but there I was in this little white cradle.
Mm-hmm.
I had my little white gown. She said my little crocheted booties. And there was a little small little music box that was playing a song. And she said, Miss McDonald looked at me. She's like, well, would you like her to take her home? And she's like, yes. So she's like, we just told him your name, and we're gonna call her Betsy. And she's like, we were just ready. And it's like, so I love it. So that is that story up until the end.
Wow.
So I know,
just so excited.
I don't
feel adoption, from what I understand, mm-hmm. just wasn't a common thing back then.
Right. No, I don't think it was.
But then you're saying they had like 30
They
families.
Did. She said there were 30
That's
families.
A lot.
And yes.
Or it seems like a
it
lot.
It seemed like a lot, yes. And if it was, I don't know that anybody talked about it. Because I asked my mom how she heard about that. And it's just when she said, I had a friend who had adopted a child somewhere else. So it's like, there's this place in Jackson, Mississippi. She's like, well, I'm gonna look into it.
Write them a letter.
Here we are. Yes, and like I said, after looking over, I didn't realize they waited. I mean, it was like 6 years.
Yeah.
By the time the adoption process and all that, and I didn't realize it took that long. Like that's what I learned.
Yeah, that's a very.
Yeah.
I mean, 6 years. That's a long.
It's a long time, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And because they would, and I don't know. Probably when they were telling me that story, they didn't put that in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was young. They.
Because you started out saying, like, I've just always known I was adopted.
Yes, yes.
So, and from me and you talking over coffee and we were talking about your story, you were saying how thankful you were it wasn't like they sat and waited until you were 10 years old and be like, okay.
Yes.
So today's the day we're going to tell you you're adopted.
Right.
You know, it was an everyday conversation.
Yes, it was an everyday conversation. My parents, I mean, we are eternally grateful for my birth parents.
Sure, yeah.
And wanted to be a mom and dad for so long. mom and dad made sure we're thankful. We're going to pray for them. You know, we want them to have extra blessings. And so that is just how I've always known. And I just love that. Yeah. It's just...
They were not made to be villains for not keeping And I feel like we can do that as adoptive parents sometimes, you know, can be seen as like, well, we're the heroes.
Yes.
But actually, they're actually, the parents that chose life.
Yes, they are. Actually, I look at my birth parents as heroes.
Wow. Wow.
You know, they, I mean, they had this unplanned pregnancy. Come to find out later on, they were, you know, fairly young. And they chose for someone else to love me and raise me. And I just, I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
That's where I see God's goodness. You know, there's, how that was, and it had to have been difficult on them, but that I pray they are blessed by it. I pray because I'm, you know, I don't know them, but I do want to make them proud. I'm like, you know, I want to do right with them through the Lord too. You know, I pray that they know the Lord, and hopefully I can see them in heaven. So I'm hoping they are. I prayed that. I want them to have a relationship with Him. So, but yeah.
Well, and, you know, more than likely, depending, you know, we don't know what they believe. Like, how cool is it to think that they might be praying for you too?
I know. Yeah.
What, let's see, I had a question I wanted to ask you. Just keep on with your story, because I had a question that
okay,
I was
I'll keep on with that story.
And I'm forgetting what my
question worries. Was. Well, okay, so I will tell you what, I'm adopted, but my sister is not. So she's 4 years younger than I am. They were in the process of adopting a little boy and then got pregnant with my sister. And at that point, it would have been 10 years before they had even, you know, been able.
Right.
Yeah. So I love that.
I'm sure that came as a huge surprise.
Yes, it did. So they were like, oh, well, we're going to have the baby. So they did not adopt the little boy. Gotcha. So I have my sister and I love my sister. So I'm so thankful for that. And do you know your question or you want me to just keep going?
No, you just keep going.
Okay. I'll talk about just kind of growing up, just because I'm adopted and my sister is biological.
Right. Well, and so with our case, my family's case, my little boy is brown. We are white.
Right, yes.
People obviously know I did not have him.
Yes.
But y'all, you look ish like your family.
I do look, yes.
Y'all are all that have the same color skin tone.
Yes.
But you did share with me whenever we were talking, you're like, but actually, I was never told. You look like your mom. You look like, and that was something that you talked about, you know, like that does hurt because you realize, my sister does look just like me.
Yes. Yes. And that did bother me. I was 11. That's sixth grade. It's middle school. Like we said, our middle school is middle
school.
Weird
anyway.
It's weird. And you're still trying to figure out life at that point. And yes, wherever we went, because my sister does look just like my mother. And so everybody assumed I look like my dad. Well, I love my dad. When I was a little 11-year-old girl, I just didn't want to look like my dad. You know, I love him dearly, but I didn't want to look like him.
And like, how do I look like a man?
Oh my gosh,
hair.
For real. You know, he has red hair.
He had red hair.
Yeah. And so I was like, yeah. And so my mother, I think, sensed it. I don't know how we got on the topic of wanting just a little bit more. My mother was always very open that if you would ever like to find your birth parents, you just tell me. But I never had a desire because I'm so loved in my family that I didn't, I never had a desire to have to find my birth parents.
Yeah.
Plus it would have crushed my dad's heart had I would have done that.
Wow.
And so I wouldn't have, but I don't know if it's because they were just so honest and open and we were so thankful for my birth parents.
Yeah.
That I didn't, but I did wonder kind of who I look like. And so my mom wrote another letter because, you know, we still do letters. when I was 11, so it was like 1984, I found all these letters, we were looking.
That's so special.
I love that. I'm glad she kept them. But it took them a year later to respond.
Oh, wow.
Because I found that letter because they had filed the letter that my mom had sent. And she must have just asked, is there anything you can tell Betsy about her parents? Because I was a private adoption. Like I was not going to know anything about them. And they did. I have two sentences, I think, on each of them. But it was enough for me to be like, okay, you know, I think I may have some of this from my birth mom or this from my birth dad. So that was just really all I needed. And
It fixed up maybe a little gap.
It did, yes. And then I had children, and my youngest looks like me. So what was that, 19 years later, the Lord gave me that. He's like, here, somebody has your nose. And it's crazy just how somebody having your nose would be important to me at that time.
I could totally see that.
So, but I have my youngest that is me, made over. So I smile. Jay, my oldest, is too, but it's just really my youngest one that is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know we kind of kid around, but, you know, Mark, when John Micah was born, I don't share pictures of John Micah a whole lot on social media, but his little nose was kind of done, you know, it was kind of scrunched up. And Mark, he'll always say, John Micah has my nose. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Mark's nose looks different than us. And so we're like, you know, he sure does.
He does.
You know? Yes. And so anytime someone has in our family, like, has curly or wavy hair, Mark's like,
yes,
we have the same hair.
Yes.
And so I can tell just as at his age,
yes,
that means a lot to him.
It does.
And he does, he hears, I mean, everyone says it at church that the girls look just like Will. I mean, all the time.
Yes.
They look just like their daddy, you know, that kind of thing. And that's totally fine. But Mark doesn't ever hear that.
Right.
And so, yeah, you saying that that was important to you, even just to know a little bit more, which as Mark gets older, we will obviously, you know, have more information that we pray through that his heart can handle at the time. But, no, I appreciated you even sharing.
Yeah. Well, and then my oldest has red hair. My oldest son.
Okay.
Well, then my dad had red hair. So everybody assumed it came from my dad. And we were just like, yeah. But see, don't you love how the Lord works?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yes. But they didn't, but they both had red hair.
Yeah.
So I think the Lord helps you out in some ways. And we pray he will with Mark, you know, where you'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
It may
yeah.
take till he has his own children.
Own children. You know?
But yeah.
What would you say to someone? Yeah, kind of, because, like, we definitely have listeners who are all the time, you know, wanting to have babies or experience a miscarriage, but, like, when do I pull the trigger for adoption? What would you tell someone, like, possibly thinking about adoption?
Yeah, I would say adoption is a blessing. But, I mean, you've got to know if that will work for your family. I don't know that adoption is for everybody.
Yeah.
It certainly was for my family in what the Lord had in store. I would just pray about it and seek the Lord. I was able to have babies too, so I, you know, don't know. I just, but adopt. I think it's, like Mark and I, we have stories not everybody has because we are adopted. As I told you, I'm adopted twice.
Yeah.
know, I'm adopted in, you know, my salvation. That's my adoption story. And then I'm also been adopted. So it's just special. I say, go for it. Just be totally upfront, honest, like my parents were. And just because I think of my birth parents quite often, and I'm very eternally grateful for the gifts they gave my parents and me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one little thing at the end of, my two little sentences that they were going to get married, but decided that that was not the best thing. And so my birth mom's thought adoption would be the best. And that was like my last sentence that I got. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Because I just love it. I don't talk about it quite often because it's just who I am.
Right.
But I'm happy to talk to anybody about adoption. I don't know how you could not adopt, but I don't know. Does it take that long again? You know, like, did it take you long with Mark?
Well, Mark was through foster care.
He was foster care, so it'd be different. Yeah.
It definitely depends with foster care.
Gotcha.
We have a girl very involved with our little Hannah's Heart community in town who started the adoption process. They were told it would take about 3 years. That's domestic.
Okay.
And they were approved for a week and a half and have a baby now.
Oh, are you serious? That's awesome.
Just like literally three weeks ago.
Yes.
Talking about seeing the Lord's goodness, that baby looks just like them. That baby girl so much
looks like them, right?
Yes.
I love that.
The hair color, everything. It's like, how, God?
Yes, yes.
But yeah, you can totally see the Lord's goodness through adoption. I know it starts with a broken family, though.
It does.
But a broken family who chose, at least that mama, choosing to give life to that baby.
Yes.
And then, the Lord using people who have also gone through broken things to give that baby a home. Is there any someone who has been adopted? Like, mm-hmm. what would you tell a kiddo right now, maybe struggling to feel like they fit in with an adopted family?
I don't know, because I always fit in. I would just talk to your parents. Let them tell their story. I don't know. Mine just always told the story. And the older I got, I learned a little more. And maybe have their parents write it down, like mine.
Yeah.
But...
It didn't seem like you were ever afraid to ask questions.
No, I was never afraid, because my mother said, hey, anytime. And so I was not afraid to ask questions. That's why I got my little bit of information that I got, you know. Yeah. But I think open communication is a key. And if you're struggling, tell them. Talk about it. So, yeah.
I love that. I think open communication is key in a whole lot of things.
Yes, it is.
Well, Betsy, the time passed by really fast.
It did. Yes.
You guys, thank you so much for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we will see you back next week.